If someone would tell me now that I should abandon it, then imatil olav kumkum shel chamin, I would place upon him, I would pour upon him a pot of hot water. So he says. So Bishurim Prachi says 5 lines from the bottom on Kuftes Amud Beis on 109b. He says initially I didn't want authority and I was so desperate to avoid it that if someone tried to put it upon me, I would throw him to the lions. Now. I don't want to give it up. I would pour hot water over him. David. And he says that's not just me. Yeah. He says Shaul HaMelech didn't want authority in the first place. However, once David tried to take it away from him, boy, did he get into trouble. That's not unique, by the way, to authority. That's true in general for possessions. But the point is, and we're following the second version in Rashi, which is clearly the addition that our Gemara follows. We'll come back to the first one in a moment. But the statement is that that power is addictive. Authority is addictive for many, many reasons.
So he was Yeshua ben Baruch Yonasi.
He's one of the original Tanaim.
Rabbi Yeshua ben Baruch. Nasi at the time when the Gemara talking about him.
I don't know if he was a Nasi.
No.
I don't know if it was Nasi or based in, but that I don't remember. And Yeshua and Prachia and Nitai Arbeli are a pair. And one of them is the Nasi, one of them is the Abbasdin. So that I do remember. But, But Rashi says that there are two different editions here. And one edition has nothing to do with anything and doesn't really seem to fit. He talks about how if someone would say a lie, he takes a neder as opposed to a nedava. He says, I'm going to be obligated to bring an ola, I'm going to be obligated to bring a mincha. So he creates too great an obligation for himself, because that means that if the item he has in mind to use for the karbon ends up being unusable, he still is stuck with a neder. So Rishon Prachia would say, if someone says this, if someone takes a neder that's going to be open ended like that, I would put him in front of the lions. But the rest of this line clearly only fits with the second version in Rashi, which is that he's talking about how authority is so addictive.
Rashi actually says Nasi.
Yeah, there it is at the end. Thank you. Yeah, Tosfos brings you a very odd piece here. After quoting Rashi, he quotes Rabbeinu Klonimos, the father of Rabbeinu Meshulam, as saying on his deathbed that you should do the text the way we have it here, benevua, as though it was it wasn't like he gave a basis for it. He just said this is the way it's supposed to be. An odd passage there, but what Rabbi Yeshua and Prachia says has a great deal to teach us. Amar le, but not for right now. Amar le Markshisha Breidra Chista la Abaye. So Chista has two sons, you know, Markshisha and Maryanuka, right? He has the older one and the younger one. So the older son says to Abaye, Rabbi Meir, Haikrod Rabbi Yehuda, my Avidle. By the way, Rabbi Shimon Prachia's piece, understanding it the way that we did with the text that we did, fits in very well to the discussion about Beis Chonyo and authority and taking over from their father and etc. It doesn't quite fit in, but it's from yesterday's Gemara. But it's worth noting also the Chazon Ish had a very interesting piece. He saw the discussion yesterday about how one son was 2.5 years older than the other son. So the Chazon Ish was bothered by why it says 2.5. It's not like we're small children. You know, how old are you? I'm 5.5. Yeah. The 2.5 years older. So he said it's because when you're 2 years older, it's nothing. A 2-year gap in age between people is considered insignificant. The practical ramification for shiduchim, he said there was someone who came to the Chazon Ish, and there was supposed to be a shidduch between himself and a girl, and he found out the girl was 2 years older than him, and he wanted to call off the shidduch. And the Chazon Ish said, don't. The Gemara says that it's not until it's 2.5 years that it matters. 2 years evidently is considered to be the same age. 2.5 years is where we draw the line. Okay. So, Amar le Markshisha, this older son of Rochista, says to Abaye, I don't understand. Within the two versions of the Chonyo story, Rabbi Yehuda quoted a pasuk in Yeshaya. It was Parak Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, to show that there was a mikdash for Hashem in Mitzrayim. Right? Bayomahu Yem is Bach Hashem, Besol Heres Mitzrayim. So that was proof that Beis Chonyo was talking about a place that was for Hashem. It was not for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Meir says Beis Chonyo was for Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Meir, where is the fulfillment of this pasuk in Yeshaya that there will be a house for Hashem in Mitzrayim? That's his question. Rabbi Meir, Haikra, Rabbi Yehuda, Meir, Avid Leih. So one line up from the bottom on Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Lecha Desanya, the answer is for the following brisa. After Sancheirav tries to invade and is defeated miraculously at the entrance to Yerushalayim, King Chizkiah, who has just survived it, goes out and finds kings, princes sitting in golden wagons, golden carriages. He dirun shlolavot avodos kochavim, and he makes them vow not to worship idols. There's a great revival after this. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, by Yomahu, Yehu Chamesh Arim Beres Mitzrayim Medabros Sfas Kenan. It's from that same section in Yeshaya Yutes. It's the immediately preceding pasuk. It's Yeshaya Yutes Yud Pasuk Yud Ches. There will be five cities in the land of Mitzrayim that will speak Sfas Kenan, by which we assume he means Hebrew. Vinishbos Lashem Tzmakos, and they will swear by Hashem. So they renounce their idolatry. That's the pasuk. So that's what we're talking about. It's not Beis Chonio. Beis Chonio is for Avodah Zarah, he says. And this is a separate reference to the five kings. Hochu, they went, they beating these princes, went la'alachsandaria shal Mitzrayim to Alexandria. Ubanu Mizbeach, they built a Mizbeach. V'helu ala l'shem Shemayim. Shenemar b'yomahu yeh Mizbeach l'shem b'socher es Mitzrayim. They went and they built a Mizbeach for Hashem. Okay. In that same segment, that pasuk, the Yeshaya Yutes Yudches, that mentions five kings, concludes Ir HaHeres Yeomer LeEchas. Ir HaHeres is the city of destruction, the city that's been destroyed, will be said to one of them. So one of them will be called Heres, will be called destruction. So my Ir HaHeres Yeomer LeEchas. What does that mean? Kedimitargim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef explained, Karta debate Shemesh, the city of the sun. This is known as Heliopolis, right? This is the city of Heliopolis. Heliopolis was actually in Goshen, interestingly. It's the era that we're talking about now is post-Goshen, but it was in Goshen, and according to what I've seen online, Cairo is actually close to the site. It's only a few miles from what was Heliopolis. Heliopolis doesn't stand today. But he says, this city of Heliopolis, the Asir the Mechrev, will be destroyed. Is Amar Dihi Chada Minhon, is said to be one of them. The idea that it will be destroyed is because it's called Ir HaHeres. Heres meaning destruction, but it's also the city of the sun, because we associate Heres and Cheres. And Cheres is a reference to the sun. How do you know Ir HaHeres is a reference to the sun? Will Hashem speak to the Cheres and it won't shine? Hashem speaks to the Cheres and it certainly does shine. The Cheres meaning the sun. Well, they'll speak to the sun and it won't shine. Maybe the translation there, I forget. But the point is that Cheres and Heres, we're associating one with the other, and Cheres we associate with the sun. If you remember the pasuk in Yehoshua, at the end of Yehoshua, in Perek Chaf Dalet, pasuk Lamed, talks about him being buried in Timnat Serach. But then in Perek Bet and Shoftim, it says he's buried in Timnat Cheres. And Rashi explains they put the sun on Yehoshua's headstone, because he was the one who stopped the sun. And they're saying the one who stopped the sun is buried here. But the point for us is that Cheres is a reference to the sun. So what do we take away from all of this? That there were five cities in Mitzrayim which were evidently compelled to leave Avodah Zarah after Sancheirav stopped at Yerushalayim, and that there they go and worship. They go to worship Hashem, and that's the reference in the pasuk, not to Beis Chonio. Beis Chonio was for Avodah Zarah. Okay. Having done that, we now have a tangent about Jews and their golos. Since we talked about the Jews in Mitzrayim, we continue with Jews and their exiles. Haviu banai merachoku benosaimi kitzei haaretz. Bring my children from afar. Bring my sons from afar. I should say, bring my daughters from the ends of the earth. So haviu bahavi banai merachok. Bring my sons from afar. Amar avuna elu galios shava bavel. That's a reference to the Jews who are exiled in Bavel. Shadaitem yushevas aleihen. They are of settled mind. Kibanim. Like young men. Young men, usually people don't describe young men as having a settled mind. But that's what he says, their minds are settled like boys. They're not bothered by anything.
Actually says,
The well, that's not the Bunim reference. That's the Bavel point. The point about the about them being in Bavel is that they're not under an empire, right? Ubnosai miktei haaretz, and my daughters, though, from the ends of the earth, elu galios shel sha'aratzos. Those are the Jews who are exiled to other lands. She'ein daitan miyushevas aleihen. They do not have a settled mind. Kibanos, like girls, they're much more sensitive, and they can't take it. This is an old idea. The word hysterical, when someone is experiencing hysteria, came from the word for the womb. Because it was understood that if a girl was very upset, it had to do with some dysfunction of the womb. So the assumption is that girls are more sensitive, and that's what he's referencing here. And the Jews in their other lands suffered much more. All of that is just an outgrowth of the discussion about Mitzrayim, but we continue now to talk about Jews and their exiles. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Chizdav, Amil Amar Yehuda Marav, Mitzur Va'ad Karthigini, from Tyre to Carthage. Makirim Es Yisrael Vesavim Shabashamayim. They recognize the Jews. Rashi says it doesn't mean to recognize the Jews, it means that they recognize how great we once were, how great our status was, and therefore they don't make the Gaulis too harsh for us. And they recognize Vesavim Shabashamayim, they recognize Hashem, they believe in God, they don't believe in Avodah Zarah. Umitzur Klape Mara, but from Tzur to the west. Tzur does not have to mean Tyre and Lebanon, by the way. We find several cities known as Tzur in Tanakh. Umikartagini Klape Mizrach, and from Carthage to the east. Ein Makirin Es Yisrael, V'lo Zavim Shabashamayim. They don't know us, and they don't know Hashem. So Ezer, Simi Barchia LaRav, Simi Barchia says to Rav, Mizrach Shem Hashem Mavo'o, Gadol Shemi Bagoyim, Uvachol Makom Mugdar Mugash Lashmi, Mugtar Mugash Lashmi, Minchata Raises. Don't you know the Pasuk in Malachi? The Pasuk says, from the east of the sun all the way to the place where it sets, Hashem says, my name is great among the nations. They all bring offerings in my name. They bring a pure mincha. So what are you telling me, that Hashem is only known from Tyre to Carthage? Amar Leit, to which he replies, see me at. Are you seeing me? And remember, we saw this back in Menachos Chavtes, the different explanations for why he asks, are you seeing me? One explanation, Rashi in Bechoro says that he's surprised. You can't figure out the answer for this yourself. It's so simple. Rashi in Nida suggests that this is Simi Bar Chia is his grandson, because Chia is his son. So Rabbi Simi is his grandson. He's saying it's an expression of love for his grandson. He also notes that some say it's because Rav always looked down as an act of snius. So therefore he didn't know who was speaking to him. The problem is we only find it regarding Rav Simi. We don't find him say this regarding anybody else. Right. He gives another explanation also, which he has to reject there. Look at the references I put on the footnote on your sheet. But he says to him, Simiat de karule elaka de elaha, is the way it should be read. The reason why these lands are different from Tyre to Carthage are not the same as the other lands, is because in the greater lands they don't recognize Hashem as Hashem, rather they recognize Hashem as the God of their gods. In other words, they believe their Avodah Zarah is legitimate and Hashem is associated with their Avodah Zarah.
He's looking all the way down to Paris. Isn't he saying where Jews should live and Jews shouldn't live? There's a substantial Jewish community in Africa on that coast until.
See, you think that's what he's saying? Maybe.
Well, according to Josephus, they.
No, I mean, but I'm saying is as reading that into his comments here, maybe. I don't know. I would have assumed it's just an extension of his comments about what happened to the Jews in Golos. But as I understand, what he's saying here is that in these lands, the ones that are immediately here, they really recognize Hashem. In the foreign lands, they link God with their Avodah Zarah. That's the idea. The Margolios HaShah says that's why we have a mitzvah. I think he's quoting with Mr. Zalman Meltzer. That's why we have a mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To understand that Hashem is not the same as their Avodah Zarah. So b'chol makom mukdar mugash l'shmi, in every place they bring offerings in my name. So he says b'chol makom salkedaitach, really everywhere they bring offerings in Hashem's name. So Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yonasan, elu talmidei chachamim ha'oskim b'Torah b'chol makom. He says no, this refers actually to talmidei chachamim who learn Torah everywhere. Mala ani aleim kilu maktirin umagishin l'shmi. I consider it as though they brought ketores and they brought offerings in my name. It's Talmud Torah, and this brings us to another tangent, right? We started out with Chonyo. We moved to Jews in their exiles. Now we move to another tangent, which actually is very important, though, for Menachos and for Zvachim, which is that Talmud Torah can be the equivalent of a karban. When you learn Torah, it's like you're bringing a karban, and that's going to be what's going to bring us through to the next Mishnah, the very important theme. Frankly, we could have used it in the beginning of the Masechta, that learning Torah is like bringing a karban to Hashem. So we don't have Zvachim and Menachos right now, but we do have Torah. We can at least learn. And he continues to say, "Mincha tahara," bringing a pure mincha to God. "Zeh lo made a Torah b'tahara." That's one who learns Torah in purity. Regarding such a person, it says he's doing this lishmi. Rashi emphasizes, "Mincha tahara." No, say isha be'achakach lo made Torah. He learns Torah after getting married. He gets married and then he learns. Tosfot, right? So Tosfot has a problem with that because the Gemara in Kiddushin Chavtesam Advez brings two different recommendations. One is to learn Torah and then get married, because that way you won't be distracted with the burdens of running a household, and the other is to get married and then learn Torah. The Gemara says halan v'halahu. Right, one is for them, Babylonians, and one is for us in Israel. So very interesting explanations there. Rashi says if that the Babylonians, I feel like we could take a little bit more time with this since we only have one amud to do today. Rashi there in Kiddushin explains that the Bnei Bavel traveled to Israel to learn Mishnah. Because the source for Mishnah was in Sipori. So the Bnei Bavel traveled to Israel to learn Mishnah. And therefore, they can get married first and then learn Torah, because they don't have to worry about the households. They're on the road. So they get married first and then they leave. Whereas Bnei Eretz Yisrael are at home, and therefore they're going to be expected to do things like watch the kids or take out the trash or whatever. So they need to learn Torah before they get married. Tosfos is horrified by this. So Rabbeinu Tam says, what are you talking about? He says, that means, number one, it won't be Tahara, they won't be learning in purity, because the whole idea of getting married first is that you get rid of your Yetzirah, because you are married, you're taken care of. But he's not. He's going to be away from home. Number two, Tosfos there in Kiddushin says they have to support their families. You can't get married and then go off and learn Torah. You have a responsibility to support your family. As I state Tosfos, the people should learn Tosfos. So he says, how can you get married and then go off to learn? So he says, no, it's the opposite. In Bavel, they learned first, and then they married and settled down. Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim, were at home, and they were also wealthy, he adds, and therefore they could marry and then learn, and they could still support their families and take care of their households. That's Tosos. The Ritva has a radical suggestion that he himself disagrees with, says that the Babylonian wives worked. And therefore, they could get married first, the wife would work, and they would learn. He rejects it based on getting involved in the debate. But that's also a radical idea. Okay. Yeah, sure. In any case.
The Parnassus, though, right?
Is there a Shirim? You were a Shirim.
Yes, he mentioned there were a Shirim as well.
In Eretz Yisrael, I mean.
Yeah, no, in Eretz Yisrael, not the one in Babel. The ones in Babel were not. The ones in Eretz Yisrael were the Ashir.
They could learn. They could get married and learn. Rich
right, in Eretz Yisrael. Okay.
Rich problem.
Right there. The Gemara, once it has this idea that learning Torah is the equivalent of a karban, is not going to let go. Shira Malos, they quote a pasuk in Tehillim. Hine baruchu es Hashem kol abdei Hashem ha'omdim beveis Hashem balilos. Bless Hashem, servants of Hashem who stand in the house of Hashem at night. So my balilos, what do you mean at night? As the Maharsha notes here, there is no avoda at night. I mean, there is avoda at night. We talked about bringing the karbanos from the day and all of, and all such things. But there is no avoda of the night. We don't think of it that way. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan elu tamidei chachamim ha'oskim b'Torah b'layla. He says, you're right. It's talking about learning Torah at night. Ma'ale aleyan ha'kosov kilu asukim ba'avoda. And the Torah considers it as though they were involved in avoda when they learned Torah. Marsha has a nice discussion about why Davka, the Torah they learn at night, is like that. As opposed to the Torah they learn by day.
Do you
relate with the Pirkei Avos? Yisrael. I missed it, but I maybe we'll come back to it after. The La'olam Zosal Yisrael. He says, eternally, this will be upon Israel. This piece here is from Divrei Hayamim Perek Beis. Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Beis, and it's Shlomo speaking, saying the avoda of the Karbanos will always be with us. So we're bothered in the Gemara. What do you mean it'll always be with us? It's not true. There's a churban. So Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Zem Mizbeach Banoi Umichal Sar HaGadol Omid Umakriv Olav Karban. He says, this is the Mizbeach, and Michal bringing karbanos on it. In other words, it's the Beis HaMikdash above with the Mizbeach up there and Michal bringing karbanos. Tosfos brings two different views as to what these karbanos are. One view is it's the neshamos of the tzaddikim. The other one is that it's lambs of fire. But he uses this to explain Ritzei in Shmona Esrei, Tosfos. Because we're bothered, this is always a standard question in your Siddur, where do you put the period? Vashevis avoda ledvir beisecha v'yishei Yisrael uzfilasam be'avas akavel baratzon. Bring back your avoda and accept our karbanos willingly. So Tosfo says you could break it up as Hashavas Avoda Lidvir Besecha V'Isha Yisrael. Bring back the avoda and bring back the karbanos, because right now there are none. But if you break it up as bring back the avoda and accept Isha Yisrael, it's talking about accepting these karbanos that that Michael is bringing. And that's the idea. The Shem Bishmuel says that the karbanos are actually from our hislavos. It's our when we're passionate, when, as we read the sections of the karbanos. That's the karban that Michael brings. So that's one explanation for how it is that this is always with us. La'olam zosal Yisrael. But he continues, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eilu Tamidei Chachamim Hasukin Behilchos Avoda. He says, no, this refers to the Tamidei Chachamim involved in the laws of the Avoda. Male Aleim HaKasov Kilu Nivne Mikdash Bimeim. And we consider it, the Pasuk considers it as though the Beis HaMikdash had been built in their day. So again, their learning of Torah is connected with the Karbanos. Amar Reish Lakish Maidich Siv Zos HaTara La'olola Min Chavala Chatas V'la Hashem. Reish Lakish asks a similar theme. The Pasuk says, these are the laws for the Ola, the Mincha, the Chatas, the Asham, Kala Osek B'Torah, Ki Ilu Hikriv Ola, Mincha, Chatas, V'Asham. If you learn Torah, it's as though you brought all of these Karbanos. Amar Rava, and Rabbi Yitzchak is going to say the same thing with different Pesukim in a moment, but first, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai La Ola La Mincha, Olo Mincha Mi Bayilei. What do you do with the Lamids in the beginning of those words? It doesn't sound like Zos HaTorah is Ola Mincha, Chatas, Asham. La Ola La Mincha. What is that? Ella, Amarava, Kala Osik Patara, Eno Tsarich, Lo Ola, Velo Mincha, Velo Chadas, Velo Asham. He says, someone who learns Torah won't need these karbanos. If you remember the Gemara in Sota, Chafala Famad Aleph, it talks about Talmud Torah, learning Torah, protecting you from sin. Mitzvos will protect you while you're doing the mitzvah, learning Torah will protect you beyond that time, perhaps. That's a discussion over in Sota. So what he's saying here is that you won't need to bring karbanos. That's the idea. And then Rabbi Yitzchak recaps, and Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, May Dichsiv Zos Taras HaChatas V'Zos Taras HaHasham Kala Osek B'Taras Chatas Kilu Hikriv Chatas Kala Osek B'Taras HaHasham Kilu Hikriv HaHasham. What Rava said, just from different psukim, he says, if you learn the laws of the Chatas, it's as though you brought it. If you learn the laws of the Hasham, it's as though you brought the Hasham. Remember also the Gemara Brachos, in Shalma Farim Sifaseinu, right? Our lips will make up for the absence of the Karbanos. The Margalios HaShatz quotes Rabbi Yechiel Michal Stern with a very interesting point. We say Berachas HaTorah every morning before we learn Torah, right? That's what we do. We say Berachas HaTorah, and they last how long? They last through the day and into the following night. When you learn Torah tonight, you're not going to make a new Berachas HaTorah. Why is that? Halachically, really, it should, you know, the day begins at night. You should make your Berachas HaTorah at night, and then it should continue through the following day. He says no, because we link Talmud Torah to Karbanos, and in Karbanos, the Yom Holech Achar Halayla. Right, the day goes with the night, or the Ashtag Laila L'Chachra Yom. The night goes with the preceding day, so therefore you don't your Berachas HaTorah continue. Okay, good. The Mishnah now is a very important Mishnah. This Mishnah is one of those that it's buried at the end, and you don't get to it. Sorry.
And you're breaking the middle because we sleep, so we start the end.
Well, that's the technical reason. The technical reason is the sleeping is the interruption. But this is al derech drash. But this Mishnah is going to deal with three major theological issues that come up when you bring in karbanos. Mishnah says, "Namar ba'olas behema yishay reach." You can't leave after that, Peter. The namar ba'olas behema yishay reach nichalach. Ba'olas of yishay reach nichalach. V'mincha yishay reach nichalach. Lama lachachar amar bevechar amamit ubevat shechavin libo lashamayim. The Torah calls all three of these. What can I do? The Torah calls all three of these a fire, brought to please Hashem, or brought in front of Hashem, depending on how you translate Nichoach. But the point is, it says it, whether you're talking about animals or birds or grain, it doesn't make a difference, to teach that it's not about the value of the karbon. It's about intending it to be Lashamayim. So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Zera, Maikra, what's your pasuk for this? Pasuk in Koheles, Misuka Shnas Ha'oved in the Ad Bimar Beyochel. The laborer sleeps sweetly. His sleep is sweet. Whether he eats a little bit or whether he eats a lot doesn't make a difference. He's exhausted from his work. But the idea here, as we play it, is that he's going to eat is his reward. Whether he's... But the key is, the way we parse it is, in Ma'at Bim Harbei, whether he worked a little or whether he worked a lot, Yochel, he will eat reward. He will be rewarded for it. Rav Ada Bar Abba gives me another pasuk from the also Koheles. Rav Ada Bar Abba Amar Mehacha Birvos Hatova Rabu Ochleha Uma Kishron Liba Olav. He says, when there is a lot of good, there are a lot of people to eat it. The more you get, the more you do, the more people will come around to benefit, and in the end, you don't get anything more. It's a very depressing pasuk in and of itself. His point is, the more you produce, the more people there will be to consume what you've produced. You're not going to get anything more because you worked more. This is the anti Communist, but the point here for us, he says, having more carbon just means there's more for the kohanim to eat. You don't give anything additional to God. And here we get to the philosophical points that the Gemara spins off here. He said, Tanya, Om Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Bo re'e maksiv parshas karbanos, shelo ne'amar bohen lo kael velo elokim ela Hashem. He says, when you look through the sections in the Torah that list the karbanos, it only uses the name Yud, He, Vav, and He. That's it. It doesn't mention kael, it doesn't mention Elokim, which indeed is noted by the documentary hypothesis people. Right? They look at this section in the Torah and say, well, this must have been written by the author J, because he's a Levite, and he's therefore offering the Karbanos, and that's why he uses that name of God. The Gemara is very aware that there are different names of Hashem used in the Torah, and that this opens us up to charges that there are multiple gods within Jewish theology. But the Gemara has a different way to look at it. The point here is that we use only one name in order that no one should be able to challenge and say, oh, this offering is for this god, this offering is for that god. You believe in multiple gods. The point is exactly to teach me that we believe that all of these offerings are to one god. So one point that the Gemara is addressing here is the use of multiple names within the Torah, and to tell me it's all references to one God. It's also telling me that these karbanos are all to one God. It's not that you have multiple offerings for multiple gods. And then he goes back to the point of the Mishnah, V'nemar b'shor agas. It says regarding the great big ox, Isherech nichoach uba'of hadak, and then the thin bird, Isherech nichoach uba'mincha Isherech nichoach. They were all the same. L'malach echad amarbe ve'echad amamit u'bevat shechavin is libo l'shamayim. Whether you do a lot or you do a little, as long as your intent is for God, v'shema tomar la'achila hutzarech, unless you say, well, God needs to eat these karbanos. Tamal lomar, no, the pasuk says, imerav lo omar lach, kili sevelum loa. Hashem says explicitly, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I own the entire universe. There's nothing that you have. This table is the settled lands, everything that fills it. There's nothing there that I don't already own. V'nemar, the pasuk says, kili chayso ko chayso yar, all of the animals of the wilderness are mine. Behemos Bahare Elef, the animals on the mighty mountains. Yadati Kol Ha'of Harim, I know all of the birds in the mountains. Viziz Sadai Madi, all that moves within my fields is with me. Ha'ochal Besara Birim Vedama Tudim Eshteh. Am I going to eat the flesh of these animals? Am I going to drink the blood of the rams? That's the end of the quote from the Pasuk. And so the point is, this is the third point on the philosophical points we mentioned here, is that God doesn't need the Karbanos. This isn't there in order to satisfy him. Why we wait until the end of Menachos to say this is a good question. But lo amarti aleichem zivchu kedei shetomar eseretzono v'yaseretzoni. I didn't tell you bring karbanos so that you could say, oh, I do what God needs and God does what I need. Lo leretzoni atem zovchem. You're not doing karbanos because I want them. El leretzonchem atem zovchem. It's for your desire. You're the one who should desire, meaning, in order to fulfill my mitzvos. You're supposed to do it in order to do the mitzvos. Shnemar, the pasuk says, leretzonchem tizbachuhu. For your will, you should shecht it. That's the idea. It's supposed to be because you want to fulfill my mitzvos. Davar acher, alternatively, lirtzonchem tizbachu, lirtzonchem zabchu. Bring it for your desire, ledatchem zabchu, for your, because you wish to do so. Kedibami, I'm going to stop one line before the end for the siyum, don't worry. Kedibami, shmuel meravuna, shmuel aster, vuna minayin lemisasei bekadshim shu pasul. How do you know that one who involves himself in kadshim, not with intent, but rather he's involved with other things, and he happens to shech the carbon while thinking about other things. How do you know, shu pasul, that it's no good? Shnemar, because the pasuk says, v'shachad es ben abakar, shtei shchita l'shem ben bakar. The shchita has to be for the sake of shechting this animal. It has to be lirtzonchem, with your desire. This is important, because what we're doing here at the end of Menachos is we're going back to the beginning of Zvachim. Remember how Zvachim started? Shchita shel lishma and all that, and it's possible if it's shelo lishma. So Menachos is ending on that same note. Now that we conclude Karbanos, it goes back to the point about it having to be lishma. You wanted to know back in the beginning of Zvachim why it had to be lishma. The answer is because it has to be lirtzonchem. There is one line remaining. I'm going to read it very quietly myself because I don't like the idea of waiting for the seal. Okay, and we open up Chulin for just a moment, just because you can't finish one thing without starting another. Hakol shochtin u'shchitas an k'sheira.
You're the only one who finished.
Yeah, well. Hakol shochtin u'shchitas an k'sheira.